This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Got a busy baseball slate for you today. We're going to do rate that prop, and then we'll have our best bets. We got to recap what happened last night in the MLB as well. Did I just say the MLB? Shame on me for that. Rate that prop is coming up in segment or two. Fantasy football talk with Alan Soslowski later on today as well. As always, as it seems like we've been doing lately on this show, we're going to start with the Brewers. They won again last night, 10 straight wins. Two separate 10-game winning streaks this season. Break up big Midwest. Let's go. Come on, Nick.
Look, I promise I had nothing to do with starting the show with the Milwaukee Brewers. This was all our guy, Michael Cohen. But how could we not? How could we not? 10 straight wins for the Milwaukee Brewers. They now have two separate 10-game winning streaks this season. They've also had another 8-game winning streak sprinkled in there. First team to have two separate 10-game winning streaks in a season since the 2017 LA Dodgers. So Chicago Cubs were off last night, Jeff. Been doing a lot of scoreboard watching here in Milwaukee. Brewers now up 6.5 on the Cubs in the NL Central. Big opportunity, of course, for the Cubs to narrow that gap next week. 5-game series coming up at Wrigley Field, including a makeup game from earlier in the year. You know, this Brewers team, man, I mean, this was a lot more comfortable last night than it was in all three of those wins over the New York Mets, where they're coming from behind. This one, they jumped out to a lead early and it kind of ran away from the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. But, you know, I still get people like texting me every single day, like, how are the Brewers doing this? How is this happening? And, you know, ironically, ESPN.com, they've been putting out a series of articles this week, kind of ranking the top 50 players in the game right now and, you know, updating that monthly. Not a single Brewer, not a single Milwaukee Brewer, the best team in baseball by 5 games, made the list. And it's hard to argue with it, to be honest, you know, especially when you factor in that Jackson Chourio is currently on the IL. It's a team that just has a really strange stat profile, right? They're third in baseball in average. They're third in OBP. That makes sense. They're 25th in hard hit rate. They're dead last in fly ball rate. They're dead last in exit velocity. But they are finding ways to move runners around. 34% of base runners this season for the Milwaukee Brewers end up scoring. You know, they're second in the league right now in BABIP. And unsurprisingly, first in Major League Baseball in average with at least one runner on base, on any base. They're hitting .277 in those situations. With runners in scoring position, Jeff, the Brewers are an MLB best .285 at the plate.
Indeed. And I pulled up Fangraphs WAR leaderboards. This is a totally objective ranking. It's just a measuring what their stats have done. The top rated Brewer hitter is Isaac Collins. He's 47th in baseball and hitting WAR. So that just gives you an idea of that there. Brian Kenny on MLB Network does a segment called Baseballing, talking about, you know, what was this baseballing or not? And it's just, it highlights smart plays and not so smart plays. And the Brewers regularly show up and doing the right things, you know, hitting cutoff men, hosing down that runner to end the game the other night at home plate, you know, things of that nature. They do a great job of that. And to me, it's really interesting that they're just to maximize those values and turn that into something that's a final product. It's the ultimate, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts type of team. And, you know, you could argue on the pitching side of things, it might be a little bit different there that, you know, it could be that they are better on the pitching side of things, but even then, like, who's their ace in game one? Is it Freddie Peralta? Probably is. Freddie is not a top five, probably not a top 10 starter.
No, he's not. He's not. But I think it's the depth of the pitching staff. It's the combination of the starters and the relievers that I think make this probably one of the two or three best overall staffs in baseball. And look, comparing it to Brewers teams of the past, you know, there were usually two, maybe three starters who you felt okay about. And then if you're in a playoff series and you're getting to that, you know, game three, game four, you're just crossing your fingers and like, please, Jeff Suppan, come through for us. Please, Chris Capuano, don't blow this game. You just don't feel that way about the Brewers. Like you're confident when Jose Quintana is heading to the mound. You're really confident in Quinn Priester. The Brewers have won 13 straight games in which Quinn Priester has pitched. Didn't even throw well on Sunday against the Mets. And it doesn't seem to matter. You know, like I said on the show yesterday, Jeff, my only concern is peaking a little bit too early because you know at some point they're not going to keep winning games at this crazy clip. You know, what is it now? 24, the last 29, something like that. I mean, only a handful of teams, you know, in the last 50 years have had a run like that. And you know, there's going to be some regression. It's just a matter of, you know, finding a way to keep this up when we get to September and October.
Indeed. We got Paul Skeens versus Freddy Peralta tonight. Plenty of talk about that one. We've been bringing it up in multiple instances during this show. Really excited talking a lot of Brewers there, talking a lot of baseball. Mm-hmm. We got lots of football news. Some of it's contract related. We'll start off with James Cook. He's ended his hold in for now. He's back at practice today. It was both Sean McDermott and like people covering the Bills have kind of cautioned this is still a day-to-day situation.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Sean McDermott didn't give us much. You know, Josh Allen was asked about it after practice today and said, yeah, we're confident in GM Brandon Bean that they'll get something worked out. So it's tough to get a read on this situation as to whether, you know, James Cook himself has backed down on the contract demands. You know, maybe he's throwing out a more reasonable number. Maybe he doesn't, or he's realizing that he won't get paid as a top five running back. I think you look at the Kyra Williams contract from a couple of weeks ago as a pretty reasonable barometer if you're James Cook. But at the same time, I think this is great news for the Buffalo Bills, whether a contract is coming or not. The fact that he's comfortable getting back on the field, you know, something has been bridged between the two parties. And, you know, we've talked about Buffalo. You got two pretty reasonable backups in Ray Davis. You got a pass catching back in Ty Johnson. You know, the Bills could probably survive without James Cook. But when you get to the AFC playoffs, when you got to go and beat the Baltimore Ravens, when you got to travel to Kansas City and try to win, you know, an AFC title game, that's, I think, where they would really, really feel that absence. And, you know, there were James Cook trade rumors flying around earlier in training camp. I think they'll find a way to get this thing done. I think the Bills realize that to be the best version of themselves, and look, you have to be your best self, you know, in the AFC playoffs to beat some of those kingpin teams. They need James Cook to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, he did play very well in the playoff, especially in that game against the Chiefs that they lost. You know, I thought they should have turned to him more often instead of trying to force the Josh Allen quarterback sneak. The Chiefs clearly had dialed in on how to stop. Cook made a number of big plays in that game. I really thought that alone would have kind of illustrated to them his value. You're not really seeing any movement on the lines here with this Cook absence. Or for that matter, you know, Khalil Shakir's injury that may have him doubtful or questionable for week one. We'll see about that ankle sprain with that. But, you know, still sitting at 12 and a half there. So we'll see if anything, any movement happens there. Jordan Love undergoing a procedure on his left thumb, expected to be ready for week one, but it's just the latest in a series of events in Packers camp that haven't been too positive.
Yeah, I think this is one where I'm not panicking. It is his non-throwing hand, but, you know, certainly you worry about this being something that could be aggravated during the season. You know, is this going to impact whether or not he's taking snaps under center versus shotgun? Just a comfortability thing for Jordan Love. And, you know, we talked so much about last season, you know, was Jordan Love ever really healthy at any point after suffering that injury in week one in Brazil? And, you know, just kind of felt like he wasn't himself. And now this is kind of the last thing you want, right? Outside of a true major injury is something that could kind of knock you off your spot heading into the regular season. But the bigger point here, and you alluded to it, Jeff, is that it's not just Jordan Love. I mean, Romeo Doubs left practice earlier today with what looks like a back injury. Christian Watson, of course, will start the year on IR after his leg injury. Jaden Reed, his status looks dicey for week one. Dontavian Wicks is currently out. Xavier McKinney, Nate Hobbs, they're injured on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Green Bay was able to survive so many injuries last season for the most part, but it did feel like it hindered their upside, right? By the time you got to the postseason, you just didn't have this feeling that the Packers were going to go into Philly and beat that Eagles team. So it's looking rough right now. I mean, the Jaden Reed injury specifically, that's one I'm really, really concerned about as far as how that impacts week one against the Detroit Lions, a big one for fantasy football purposes as well.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, I gave out the Packers earlier as a futures, and that's the problem with futures bets. Things can change, and you know your bet is locked in. Yeah. That's kind of one of the things that's a negative. I mean, that works both ways. I mean, I wanted to be under on the Dolphins 8.5 earlier in the year, and then they had the Jalen Ramsey trade, and now that number moved to -7 to 7.5 or significant juice to the under if you had the 8.5 still. So it works both ways as far as that goes. Sometimes you it's same thing with fantasy. We talk about this all the time. Do your draft early. Mm-hmm. Same thing applies to futures bets.
Yeah, no question about it. And sometimes you get burned, sometimes you don't. But I don't think anything that's happening with the Packers right now, to me, it impacts how I would bet this team. I want to gather a little bit more information. Yeah, I think it's likely that this is not something that impacts Jordan Love too dramatically as we get into the regular season. But again, those injuries adding up in that wide receiver core, even with as much depth as they have, certainly something to monitor as we move through these final two preseason games.
Indeed, indeed. We're going to talk a little Niners, but first, did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant, as I did today during the Flex Experts draft that we did over at SiriusXM Fantasy doing the broadcast of, to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Brandon Ayuk for the 49ers is going to miss several games to begin the season. The Niners said they are on track for him to return around week six. There's a lot of qualifiers in there. It's not he's coming back week six. It's on track around week six. Dealing with the multiple ligament injuries in his knee. Interesting to see a lot of the decimation in the wide receiver room for the 49ers.
Yeah, we came into training camp kind of wondering how will this work out between Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings. And to me, Ricky Pearsall by default is just the safest option. If we're talking about this from a fantasy football context, Juwan Jennings still sidelined by a calf injury. He wants a new contract. He was talking trade a few weeks ago. But yeah, like you said, with Ayuk, this does not mean he's coming back in week six. This means we're looking at a multi-month timeline. And week six is mid-October, Jeff. So who knows how much time he's going to miss. Hopefully the Niners can take advantage of that soft schedule.
Yeah, he's been reduced to a mentor role on the sidelines there for Pearsall and company. Rate that prop. Coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Big Major League Baseball slate coming our way tonight. We're going to play a game of Rate That Prop. I will give Jeff Erickson a baseball player prop for tonight. He'll rate that on a scale of 1 to 5. The higher the number, the more likely that Jeff Erickson is running to the window. Jeff, will start off with a big series in the NL East, at least for one team, the New York Mets, trying to get back on the winning side of things. A brutal weekend for the Mets in Milwaukee. They get Spencer Strider tonight going up against Atlanta. Spencer Strider over 6.5 strikeouts tonight, Jeff, minus 110 over at DK. Rate that prop.
I'm rating it a 3. You could make a case that it should be higher, should be maybe a 4. It's close. He's hit that number in only 3 of his last 6 starts, however. Mets are circling down the drain. They've lost 7 in a row, 9 out of 10. I think we spent more time on the Yankees failures on this show than we have the Mets failures, but the Mets have had 2 massive losing streaks like this lately, and it's tough to see this here. Mets playoff odds now. The yes is minus 290. The no is plus 245. So that's really shrunk. I think the teams chasing the Mets are worse than the teams chasing the Yankees, though. We'll see about that, whether I'm right about that or not. If you look at the Mets lately, 23% strikeout rate in their last 30. At home, it's 20.6%. Against right-handers, it's 21.2%. Strider did get 8 strikeouts, two different starts against the Mets earlier in the year. This is like a 3.5. I'm rating it a 3 just because of Strider's recent numbers and the possibility that maybe he doesn't go as deep into the game.
Yeah, Mets still clinging to that third wildcard spot in the National League. 2 games up on Cincinnati, 3 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals heading into tonight. Just a plus 30 run differential now for the Mets, who've lost 7 in a row. Plus 38, if you're curious, for the Cincinnati Reds. All right, let's move on to Jack Leiter going up against the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight at home. Jack Leiter, 3+ walks allowed, plus 135. Rate that prop.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Michael loves to throw these on me here. Michael Cohen, our producer extraordinaire. And I'm with him on this one here. Jack Leiter's walk percentage this year, 12%. At home, it's a little lower. He walks 3.8 batters per 9 at home. 5.8 batters per 9 on the road. So you look at that a little bit there and you're like, I don't know. But then you look at Arizona and, you know, this is a team that does walk quite a decent amount there. Against right-handers, 5th in baseball, 9.3%. Against On the road, it's a top 10 walking team as well, 8.9%. They've lost a couple of their players on their roster, obviously, and that does detract from that a little bit there. Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor in particular. So maybe that cuts down on the walks taken a little bit, though, Warren, but still, I you're getting plus money on this one as well. Plus 135, and price matters a lot. I'm rating this one a 4.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, Jeff, pushing for their 11th straight win tonight, but they'll have to do it against Paul Skeens. He goes up against Freddy Peralta. Rate that prop, Paul Skeens over 7.5 Ks tonight at plus 120.
This is a 2 for me. There's a couple different ways. I mean, first of all, we got to talk about the scalding hot Milwaukee Brewers, you know, winning so many games in a row. They've been scoring a lot of runs. They don't strike out that much. 19.5% in their last 30. That's 27th in baseball. So that's first of all. So that works against it there. Then you take in Skeens' personal history. He had his worst start of the year against the Brewers last time out. Only 4 Ks against the Miz. So if you remember that head-to-head, what we're all looking forward to seeing there, it actually happened, and except Skeens had a rough day in that one there. He's been pitching better lately, has hit that prop in 4 out of his last 6, but it's a tough price. It is plus 120. That helps a little bit, but it's a tough number to hit. And, you know, knowing where the Pirates are right now, you know, they're clearly out of it. They were sellers at the deadline. They've been managing Skeens' workload. I'm rating this one a 2.
Jeff, I'm curious what you would rate Paul Skeens' Cy Young odds right now. Now, minus 600 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Zach Wheeler plus 450. Christopher Sanchez 8-1. Then you're getting into some long shots. Minus 600. Does that add up to you?
That's funny that there's been that surge to raise the price on Skeens there. I don't like the price. I wouldn't jump in at this point now. At one point, Wheeler and Sanchez had kind of narrowed those odds. You know, that's a prohibitive favorite. And it does demonstrate that Skeens has been pitching very well lately. I get that there. I guess we're talking about an electorate now that isn't fixated on pitcher wins. It's a more sabermetric minded voting group. So, yeah, I see why it's happening that way. It's always tough to handicap human behavior or voting on others, human performance. So it's a multi-layered thing, but that probably makes sense that the price is going there. I wouldn't bet it at this point. I think the value has been bet away.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk some hitter props in a moment, but first, folks, Circus Survivor, the quest for $14.2 million is a 10-part documentary series following the drama, strategy, and heartbreak inside the world's largest legal football contest. You can catch the final 5 episodes starting tonight through the 16th of August at 9 p.m. Eastern. Missed an episode? You can watch the first 5 episodes right now over at VSiN.com/survivor. By the way, if you miss an episode of Prop Points, you can check that out over at VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. You can also find us in podcast form. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Prop Points. All right, let's look at some hitter props, Jeff. We'll start with Shohei Ohtani going up against his former team, the Angels in LA. Victor Medeiros on the mound. 3+ total bases tonight for Shohei Ohtani, plus 125. Rate that prop.
Reminder that total bases walks don't help you, so hopefully Medeiros doesn't walk the park here. Dodgers sort of let us down last night against the Angels. We'll see if we kind of double back. Shohei Ohtani did homer last night. He has 4 homers in the last 7 days, a 1673 OPS in that span, 7 homers in the last 21 days. This just in, Shohei Ohtani's good. You don't really need to look at the recency bias there, factor of that there. You're getting plus money on this one here. That's one of the things I like, plus 125. Maybe you should get higher price because it is 2.5 total bases. You're basically counting on a homer or, you know, a double and a single, something of that nature there. Yet I like it against Victor Medeiros, who is filling in for Tyler Anderson. Anderson's got the back issue. Medeiros has had a couple cups of coffee the last 3 years in baseball, in Major League Baseball. I think this is a pitch that exactly the type of pitcher that Ohtani can attack. I'm rating this one a 4.
Yeah, big game for the Dodgers, who have seen their lead over the Padres shrink to just 1 game in the NL West. Sticking out West, Jeff, rate that prop, Cal Raleigh. 1+ RBI tonight, minus 105, going up against the O's and Dean Kramer in Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to go back-to-back Mariners here. We'll start off with Raleigh. I like what Riley's been up to over the weekend. Three homers in a row, had slump before that. Now they get to go to Camden Yards. They face a pitcher in Dean Kramer, who's allowed 12 earned runs in his last three starts. Assuming he gives up more of those sweet, sweet earned runs, chances are Riley's going to be in the middle of it there. I like this one. Let's rate it a 4.
Okay, there we go. And like you said, sticking with the Seattle Mariners, Eugenio Suarez to home or hit a home run, not to home run, Jeff. That is not a verb. To hit a home run tonight at +390, rate that prop.
So this one, I almost rated a 2. I ended up giving it a 3, but Suarez has actually slumped since the trade. He had one big game. Aside from that, he's really struggled with the Mariners so far. They played exclusively at home since that trade deadline. One of the reasons why the Mariners are hot, even if Suarez isn't, he's hitting 105 in those games, in those 10 games with the Mariners. Getting him out on the road, maybe that'll be the cure. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was a 37 homer hitter on the season in less than in 2/3 of a season. So pretty impressive overall numbers, mm-hmm. even though his Mariner numbers aren't so impressive. Again, facing Dean Kramer, we like that. Getting him in Baltimore, it's +390. Nick, I like at least +300 when it comes to our home run props, our dinger props. Mm-hmm. It's a decent price, but the fact that he's slumping makes me not go any higher than a 3. I'm going to mark it as a 3.
7 wins in a row for the Seattle Mariners. They've won 9 of their last 10, chasing down the Houston Astros in the AL West. Better value to you right now, Jeff, to win their respective league. The Mariners at +380, the Brewers at 4-1.
I would say the Brewers, and it's interesting here. The Mariners, I mean, there's like 5 teams in the AL that I think could win the American League. I think it's wide open this year. And one of those teams that could win it might not even make the playoffs in the Yankees. So we'll see about that. But I think that they get hot at the right time. They still have enough firepower that they could go ahead and win the AL pennant. Whereas the Brewers, I mean, they have to get through the Dodgers and the Phillies. They've gotten through the Dodgers all season long. So I think their odds are a little long. I think that's worth the shekel. I'd look at that way there. The Phillies are the team that scares me in that calculation there. The Phillies are the team that has the starting pitching that the Dodgers don't have, that, and I think is better than the Brewers. The Phillies' Achilles heel is the bullpen, but they addressed that, of course, at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that they did enough, but I like the Brewers at the same price as the Mariners. I like the Brewers price better.
We'll have more baseball plays for Tuesday's slate coming your way to wrap up the show. But fantasy football draft season, it's in full swing. Alan Soslowski from RotoWire, he's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk players he's targeting, players he's avoiding, some futures markets. Alan Soslowski, talking fantasy football on the other side. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen from RotoWire here with you. We're bringing on today's guest on the Progressive Guest Line. He's our good friend, Alan Soslowski. He is the video content manager at RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at Alan Soslowski. You can see his copious videos over on YouTube. And if you got a dynasty question, he is a dynasty nutso. He's got over 40 dynasty leagues. So he is our go-to guy with that. He plays a lot of redraft leagues as well. And Alan, we're going to focus on that today. Talk about some fantasy players to avoid. Let's start off talking Travion Henderson. And I love Travion Henderson. I think he's super fun. Had the kickoff return, had an 18-yard run in his first preseason game. But man, the helium is there. It is present. He went as high as 18th in a draft over the weekend following that game. His ADP in the last 5 days is 40. You just think that's too high of a price to pay?
It's certainly an uncomfortable fade, right? Because we all want Travion Henderson. After we saw that 100-yard kickoff return, he was already a popular prospect. If you remember, he was supposed to come out in the 2024 draft, decided to go back to school, is a high second-round pick in the real NFL draft, and there wasn't anybody who disliked Henderson. But, man, if you're going to have to pay a second-round price before he's actually played a real NFL game, I mean, there is some upside there. It's, like I said, it's a scary fade, guys, but there's so many other proven assets. Jonathan Taylor, even Bucky Irving. I mean, Kyren Williams you can get in the second round. All these guys have multiple years of high-end RB1 production. And let's not forget, Henderson's going to be a fun electric player, but Ramondre Stevenson, who's one of the boring players in the NFL, but he just got a new contract with the New England Patriots, and that could be a touchdown capper. If they get in close, they might be giving it to Ramondre. He might be the David Montgomery to Jahmyr Gibbs, but hey, man, if Travion Henderson is truly Jahmyr Gibbs, then I'm going to be dead wrong. But if he's going to go in like the second round of fantasy drafts, it's just a little too rich for the risk.
We're talking with Alan Sislowski, one of our fantasy football experts over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Just a reminder, you could throw in that code VSIN, V-S-I-N, at Rotowire, 15% off anything we offer on our site. Alan, you have James Cook of the Buffalo Bills on your list of running backs you are avoiding this season. Now, I don't know when you put this list together, but does James Cook returning to practice today for the Bills change anything for you?
What's funny is he was holding in, holding out, whatever he was doing for a new contract. It didn't really shift his average draft position that much. Fantasy drafters were taking him maybe at the end of the fourth, the beginning of the fifth, somewhere in that range. He fluctuated a little bit, but I think that, you know, in fantasy football analysis, we often use the term regression, meaning like if there's an outlier season on any particular stat, we say, okay, it's probably going to come back to what he usually does. Now, James Cook, I think, had like 16 plus touchdowns last year. The previous couple of years, I don't even think he had 8. I think it was like 6 or something like that over the course of 2 years. He's a good player, should be heavily involved in the offense, but he's going at a price where, I mean, he has to have 10 touchdowns. So I think when you have Josh Allen as the quarterback, who basically we could pencil in for 10 or 12 rushing touchdowns right off the bat, they also have second-year player on the roster, Ray Davis, who proved he is a real NFL player. He could be siphoning off some of that. It's not that I dislike James Cook. I just think that he's probably going to be overdrafted, given what you have to pay that fourth or fifth round pick. And I don't think you're going to get the type of numbers, given the rationale we just went over here with the other two players on that team that can steal rushing touchdowns, Nick.
Alan, Puka Nacua is going around pick 16. His teammate, Matthew Stafford, is doing his best Aaron Rodgers impersonation, hanging out in the Immortal Chamber. That's A-M-M-O-R-T-A-L. I don't even want to get into what that chamber does, but it's not the Chamber of Secrets here. Why are you not paying the price on Puka Nacua? Is it because of Stafford, or is there another reason?
Well, remember that Puka Nacua, when the draft season average draft position started coming together, he was stuck in the first round. Now, it's a little bit more palatable that he's dropped to the middle of the second round, but let's go over what has changed. So Puka Nacua is probably one of the best real five wide receivers in the NFL. He does everything. He blocks on runs. He doesn't just take plays off. But in fantasy football, he's also produced high yardage. Here's the issue that I have with Puka Nacua as a high second round pick. If you're going to take him there, he's only gotten, what, I think 6 touchdowns over the last couple of years. I mean, it has 6 and 3 with his touchdown totals. He's not really a red zone threat. Add to that Matthew Stafford is a little rickety right now, so the backup quarterback would be Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think we all do trust Sean McVay, the head coach, to have that system running even with a backup quarterback. But the main issue that I have is that he was already a low touchdown scorer, Jeff, and now they added Davante Adams in the offseason, and there's no better touchdown scorer in close than Davante Adams. He's almost like a goal line running back at the wide receiver position. Add to that, Kyren Williams, the running back, just got a brand new contract, and he's a touchdown machine. So I just don't see the upside with touchdowns. Puka would have to do it with yards, which is possible. I see him more as like a late second round, early third. You might think, what's the difference? Early second, late second? That's a big difference when you take a look at some of the players that are still available to you.
All right, well, sticking with the Rams, Alan, you just mentioned him, Kyren Williams. You might be out on Puka Nacua, but you are in on Kyren Williams at cost. And then he's kind of a tough one for some people because you have some more exciting running backs going off the board in that range, whether we're talking Chase Brown, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, certainly Bucky Irving. But nobody's been more reliable over these last couple of years than Kyren Williams.
What does Kyren Williams need to do to prove it to fantasy drafters? He should be a first-round pick, a 1-2 turn pick. Because he was drafted on day three, he was expected to be, I'm talking about years ago when he was in the real NFL draft, he was expected to be a second-round pick that year because he ran a slow 40. I think that's what happens in fantasy analysis. We put out this like expectation, this projection, and if it falls short, we push a guy down. Now, the real NFL pushed him down too, but he's already proved it on an NFL field, and the Rams gave him a contract. He's a proven high upside commodity, and he gets that label of boring. I mean, you know, look at somebody who's going ahead of him in average draft position. Someone like Bucky Irving on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He hasn't done it for a full season. He hasn't proved durability. Now, Kyren Williams has missed games here and there, but what do we know is when he's healthy, and he's been proven to be modestly healthy versus the running back position, he'll get your fantasy points. He may not have these great efficiency stats, like you said, but Sean McVay and the LA Rams trust him. He's a high-end fantasy asset that's undervalued every single year. Give me, I'm going to take him in every single draft.
Speaking of players I'm drafting a lot, the player on your target list is Isaiah Pacheco, ADP of 72, grabbing him again today in the Flex Experts Fantasy League draft. I talked about his touchdown prop earlier on the during our VSiN's training camp today segment during we were running during the baseball all-star break. Tell me more why you're on Pacheco.
Because it's not often in fantasy football you get a starting running back on a top five, top eight offense in the Kansas City Chiefs in like the seventh round. It's like it doesn't happen. But the reason why Pacheco is priced there, we were taking him in the second round of fantasy drafts last year, knowing there was a little bit of elevated injury risk because of how he runs. He's an upright, violent runner. But he gets the carries. Now, when he came back last year, which, by the way, is a miracle in itself, he got hurt early in the year, wasn't expected to be back, shows up late in the year, didn't look great, and that has depressed his average draft position. Now, fantasy drafters, they understand the injury risk. That's what's pushing his ADP down. If he was going like in the third or fourth round, I might fade away here. But to get him in the sixth round, guys, I mean, that's stealing in fantasy football.
All right, Alan, we got about 45 seconds left. We've saved the best for last. You have not one but two Jaguars on your list of targets. I know you like Bashaul Tooten, their third running back, as a late round stab, but tell us why you're in on Travis Hunter first.
Yeah, the easy one for Travis Hunter, guys, is that fantasy drafters are scared to draft him because of the uncertainty. What do we always tell people over at rotowire.com? Lean into uncertainty. The price is fair. If this wins, if this hits in fantasy football, we're going to be taking Travis Hunter in the first round next year. And with Bashaul Tooten, same thing. The price is fair. It's 12th, 13th round. There's three Jaguar running backs. I bet you Bashaul Tooten's the last man standing at the end of the year. You're going to want him, especially if you saw him in that preseason game where he has speed and power.
Alan Soslowski, everybody, check him out on Twitter at Alan Soslowski. You can find all of his work for us over on the RotoWire YouTube channel. You can check out RotoWire Fantasy Football on YouTube as well. Folks, right now, both betting guides are available over at VSiN.com. The season's biggest edges start before kickoff. You can get yours with VSiN Pro. New subscribers get both the NFL and college football betting guides, your 1-2 punch for smart betting. These guides are packed with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and best bets from all of your favorite VSiN analysts. And that's just the start. With VSiN Pro, you'll also get daily best bet emails from all of our hosts and their guests. You get real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video streaming on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's tools and data. You can sign up today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a pro annual plan. Sign up right now over at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We'll have more best bets for the Tuesday baseball slate coming up next. Our G-Bank best bets as well. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. here with you for about 15 more minutes, taking you up to the top of the hour. Mark Melusis, again, in for Adam Schein today. Make It Rain coming your way next at 3 p.m. Eastern here on VSiN. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. That's coming up at 4. Matt Youmans on the desk for VSiN Primetime starting up at 7 p.m. Eastern. We got a full baseball slate coming our way tonight, Jeff. The Chicago Cubs are back in action. They were idle yesterday. Big series going up against the AL leading Toronto Blue Jays. This one in Toronto. Ben Brown on the hill taking on Jose Berríos. Got the Blue Jays as slight favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 9.
Yeah, this is interesting. Ben Brown back in the rotation, replacing Michael Soroka, who lasted all of like 2 innings in his Cubs tenure before getting hurt and having to go on the IL. Brown is the ultimate tease for us here. In the fantasy industry, he's been one of those. I can't wait. He's a fantasy boat. Can't wait to, you know, you're happy when you get him on your roster, and your next happiest day is the day you get rid of him. He teases you. He has these good outings like he has the last couple of times. You get comfortable. You put him in the rotation, in your rotation, and he slaughters you. This could be the case here again. I'm a little bit worried about this one here. However, I also don't trust Jose Berríos. He's exactly the type of guy that does well against lesser opponents, doesn't miss a ton of bats. You get in there against a good lineup, and he hurts you. I think this is probably an over game as a whole, but you know, it's a high total at 9, so I don't necessarily want to go bet the over, but I'm going to bet the Cubs over 4.5 on their team total, plus 100. With Ben Brown, we'll see, by the way. I mean, that's the thing. He's the wild card in this matchup there. He's been pitching very well lately, 6.6% walk rate against a team that doesn't strike out. He doesn't walk a ton of batters. That's a good thing, at least. It's a scary game all the way around. So also kind of, you know, it's just a really interesting game. And I think two very good teams going up against each other.
Yeah, no question about that. Brewers fans will be doing plenty of scoreboard watching on that one tonight. Speaking of the Milwaukee Brewers, Jeff, we talked a little bit about this matchup earlier in the show. Paul Skeens on the hill for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight, game 2 of this series out at Miller Park. Brewers still favored despite Skeens being out there, minus 132, your money line price, an expectedly low total here at 6.5. Freddie Peralta going out there for Milwaukee. What are you looking at in this one, Jeff? Can the Brewers push this streak to 11 in a row?
They can, but this is the tough one here. And you know, out of principle, you should at least acknowledge that the money line is that Paul Skeens is getting plus money at plus 109. I don't think I can bet it. It's hard to bet against the Brewers right now, but it's there. If you're into that sort of thing as the, you know, getting the best pitcher in the pitching matchup and getting plus money, it's plus 109. Wish it was a little bit of a higher price there, but what I will say is I like the chances of this being a low scoring game, and especially early on. You know, you got two aces on the mound. The Pirates really struggle to score runs on the road. They let us down on yesterday when we were trying to go with the overall total at 9. The Brewers did their part with 7 runs. Of course, the Pirates scored 1 run. So let's find a different way to attack that there. Let's go with the overall total under 2.5 in the first 5 innings. That way you get the best of Paul Skeens. You get Peralta. You get plus money, plus 124, under 2.5 is the way I'm going to treat this there. The Brewers, they get their runs late against the Pirates bullpen.
All right, there we have it. Under 2.5, first 5 in Pirates Brewers. Good price on that one, plus 124. Your Cincinnati Reds, Jeff, still trying to make hay in the NL wildcard race. Big series for them at home against the Phillies. Ranger Suarez going up against Brady Singer. Maybe not so confident in Brady Singer tonight.
Yeah, heartbreaking loss for the Reds yesterday. Andrew Abbott was pitching his butt off there and then just stayed in the game too long. You know, he got to 2 outs in the 8th inning, no runners on, and just ran out of gas. Phillies got to him. They got to the bullpen after that. Their 4-1 win for the Phillies yesterday. Brady Singer, I'm not as confident to go that deep. He's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde sort of pitcher. If you look at what his recent results have been, home starts against the Atlanta and Tampa Bay, where he had 1 combined run allowed, 18 strikeouts in those 2 outings. 2 road starts against Pittsburgh and Washington, where he gave up 11 combined runs over, you know, 6 innings combined over those, facing a really good Phillies team. I don't think necessarily that Singer is better at home. So his results have been, I mean, a little bit better, but it's not like this is a pitcher's park for him. I don't expect him to have a good outing against the Phillies. I think he'll struggle against the Phillies. So my path here is going to go Singer over 3.5 earned runs allowed, +105. At least Philly is properly favored, unlike yesterday where we were getting plus money for them on the money line. I think it's going to be a tough row to hoe for the Reds on this one there. Tough loss for the Reds yesterday. They had the lead late. You know, they could gain that extra half game on the Mets, really make it, you know, make them feel the heat. Instead, they drop back a little bit.
We got the Twins and the Yankees at Yankee Stadium tonight. Yankees big favorites on the money line. Total coming in at 9. We know Carlos Rodon will be on the hill for the Yankees. Jeff, do we have an update yet on who's going to be out there for Minnesota?
We don't have any confirmation on this. RotoWire's projected starters list Thomas Hatch as the possible starter or at least bulk reliever. You know, sometimes they go with that rubric there. Maybe they have an opener. You know, teams like the Twins, you know, they sold sellers at the trade deadline. They've had some injuries in the rotation. You know, you're kind of mixing and matching, just trying to get through the season, get enough innings there. So, you know, that in and of itself is tough there. You look at the line on this one, -244. It's tough to find value in the money line there. But I do think the Yankees with Carlos Rodon on the mound against the Twins should be the path to go. It's funny, though. You can't even, like, at DK, you can't even find a Rodon to earn a win prop. At least when I was looking earlier, you couldn't find that there. However, I do like the strikeouts here for Carlos Rodon. If you look at what he does at home versus what he does on the road, a better pitcher at home. And many, if you look at his splits, a lot of good things that I like about that. At home this year, 3 even ERA, 0.91 whip. On the road, it's 367 and 126 respectively. So a far better pitcher in Yankee Stadium. And that makes sense. Think about their lefties typically are better at home. You got that short right field porch. He can kind of neutralize that, though, as a lefty. So that historically, the last 3 years, he's been better at home than on the road. It's also been true about the strikeouts as well. He's been a better strikeout pitcher at home. He's been a better pitcher, good strikeout pitcher generally. He had a couple of low strikeout games, but those games where he's been a low strikeout pitcher have been against teams that don't strike out that much. He had a couple Toronto starts, for instance. We've talked many times before about how Toronto is not a big strikeout team. 4 strikeouts against Toronto on July 21st. You look at June 30th, it was another 4 strikeout game. Against real team, you know, against teams that strike out a decent amount, like Miami, Philly, Chicago Cubs, 9-8-8 respectively there. I like the strikeout prop tonight for Rodon. And here's where you forum shop. Don't rely on just one book, you know, because you're going to get some variance in the price you pay. At the 6.5 strikeout rate, you can get -130 at BetMGM and at Caesars and at Hard Rock. It's like 150 at DK. So make sure you shop around when you're looking around. And, you know, try to do your advance work there. So I like the over 6.5 strikeouts, -130 at MGM, Caesars, and Hard Rock.
All right, let's get one more play in here, Jeff. Braves, Mets, Spencer Strider going up against Clay Holmes. Mets 1-9 in their last 10. They've lost 7 in a row. Can they get it turned around tonight?
Yeah, even though I didn't love the Strider strikeout prop, he's pitched very well against the Mets twice already this year. Mets are struggling a little bit. We are getting plus money on the Braves right now, +118 on the money line. I know they're on the road. That's part of it there. A couple of Braves bats have heated up. Michael Harris is one of those that's really started to heat up a little bit lately. 1145 OPS in his last 21 days after a terrible start to the season. He's been hitting with more loft lately. I think that helps a little bit there too. So I like the Braves money line.
It's time to wrap up the show as we always do with our G-Bank best bets of the night. You can get the G-Bank Visa Signature card right now, built with sports bettors in mind. While most cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, G-Bank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you get 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. You can apply now over at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. All right, Jeff, best bet of the night. What are you looking at?
Well, before I give you the best bet, I'm going to throw out a bonus. Michael Harris, Dinger Tuesday, +600. He's had 5 homers in the last 21 days. But I also like that Shohei Ohtani over 2.5 total bases for +125 against the Angels and their makeshift starter tonight.
All right, I'm going back to the totals market. We're taking the over 8.5 in Red Sox, Astros, -102. 2 shaky pitchers tonight in Spencer Arrighetti and Dustin May. Houston, they've been an over team at home. Boston, 3rd highest road over percentage this season. 57, I should say, percent to the over on the road. Both these offenses running hot over the last 2 weeks. 13 runs, 20 combined hits last night. Give me that over 8.5 in Sox Astros. We'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon. Stay tuned right here on VSiN. Make It Rain with Mark Melusis coming your way next. Have a good rest of your day.